You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles Hunting Podcast brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and on this podcast, you will find tons of relevant information that will help you become more successful in the field. You'll hear product information directly from the manufacturer and success stories from guys and gals just like you. Sit back, relax, and pour a stiff drink. This episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast starts right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. Now, today, we're going to be talking about Ozonics, right? And this is something called a Real People, Real Results podcast, where other people have share their experience with Ozonics. And at the end, I'm going to share my experience with Ozonics and ozone technology. So basically what we're doing is there's two guys, one guy, Dan Kors, and the other guy, Jake Meyer, and they're going to share their experience with Ozonics, right? This is a pretty simple podcast. You know, I talked to them about what got them to start using Ozonics, what their success was with Ozonics, how they think Ozonics kind of changed the game and whatnot. So just a really simple, laid-back podcast where I'm not trying to push any products on anybody. All I'm doing is sharing experiences with Ozonics and ozone technology. So the first person we're going to be talking to is Dan Kors. Now, he's been on the podcast before, and he's talked about arrows, and he's talked about hunting down in Texas, and he is from Texas, and he's going to talk about how he uses ozone within his scent regimen and how successful he was in a blind using Ozonics, right? I know a lot of people out there are tree stand hunters, and so Dan is a ground blind hunter some of the time. You know, he splits it up between ground blind and tree stand, but he shares his experience with Ozonics in a ground blind. In this segment, I talk with Dan, and I kick it off by asking him, how long has he been using in Ozonics?
Dan, I've been using Ozonics for about 3 seasons now.
Okay. All right. So what made you want to, I guess, what was that pushing point that got you to buy Ozonics and try it out?
Well, I knew I wanted to try one after I was talking to a hunting buddy of mine. Actually, he's a colleague, but we were talking about his experience with Ozonics. And he told me that he had a yearling doe stick her nose in his ground blind while he was sitting in the blind. And I said, really? And he was like, yeah. I said, you have to be kidding, right? He's like, no, I'm absolutely serious. And this guy, he's like one of the most honest people I know, you know?
Right.
So I really wasn't inclined to disbelieve him, but I was just so surprised. You know, my experiences with deer had never been, you know, just beyond an arm's reach of a live wild deer. So at that point, I believed him and I said, I have to try one of these. So I didn't get one right away, but I knew that I wanted to have one at that moment.
Gotcha.
So sometime later, I started hunting around, you know, checking deals, looking who had a special and that sort of thing, trying to find a good deal on one. And I finally found one that I wanted to try, and I pulled the trigger on it. And I cannot leave my vehicle without that thing now.
Yeah, that's I get a lot of people with that who I talk to about that with that same You know, that same, they say that, you know, if I have to turn around and go back home to get it, I'll turn around and go back home to get it because they believe it works, you know, it works so well. The next logical question for me then is, you know, was this something that you noticed working immediately, or did it take a couple of aha moments or smaller moments that let you know that, hey, this thing really works?
Well, I didn't notice it immediately, right? That first year I used it, I had a unique hunting situation on my lease here in Texas where I pretty much had one location that I was hunting all the time. And that's not my preference. It's just kind of how that particular lease that I fell into, that's kind of how it's set up, right?
Right.
So anyway, I had a pop-up ground blind that I used, and I would hang the Ozonics in the blind and, you know, use it just like the manufacturer suggests, where you kind of create this draft situation as much as possible, where you have like a window behind you. Let's say the wind's coming from behind my blind. I'll crack that window, and then the windows that I shoot from that might be out in front of me, I have those open, and I have the Ozonics where it will kind of rain down this ozone as the draft comes through the back crack window and out the front.
Right.
And you know, it's picking up my scent, so I kind of let my scent flow through this curtain of ozone. So anyway, I did this several hunts, and this one particular hunt that really made me the biggest believer. I had a few does come in, and they were feeding out in front of me. And, you know, I'd already taken the animal, so I really didn't need a doe at that moment. So this always unnerves me. You're like, man, these deer are going to be here for 30 minutes. They're going to eventually get downwind of me and blow me out or do whatever, right? So I'm just so nervous about the situation because they're really like within 15 yards of me, and I'm on the ground, right? So I'm pretty much eye level with these deer. And most of them move off and leave, but there's this one that she just kept feeding. And when she finally finished feeding, she starts walking towards my blind. So she's like 9 yards, you know, 7 yards. And then she literally walked the path that I take to get to enter my blind. She walks that path, and now she's out of my sight, which is like maybe 6 or 7 yards outside my blind. And I peeked through like a crack in the back of my blind, one of the windows or zipper or something. I could barely see a little bit of light through there. She literally walked within about 3 paces of the rear door of my blind. And I was like, now she's completely downwind of me. And I mean, I was holding my breath. I'm thinking she's going to hear me swallow, my heartbeat or something. I'm like, and she just walked by, and then I just walked on about her way. And I was like, this is unreal, you know? And at that moment, I was convinced, you know, I'd never not use this thing if I could at all afford to.
Right. Right. So, I mean, that right there is a really big example of, you know, it working. Has there been any example that you can think of where maybe the deer maybe got a whiff of it, got spooked, but didn't blow? Because that's an example that I get every once in a while where if the ozone starts to pool in a certain area or there's not a lot of wind or it's just a real consistent wind, sometimes the consistency of the ozone in certain places downwind will hit hard. So it's almost like a perfect line, right? They walk in, they get hit with that ozone real hard, and then they kind of get spooked. I don't want to use the word spooked, but they catch it all one big nose whiff of it, and they go tense because they've never smelled it before. Have you had an example like that?
I've had several situations like that. And generally, you know, I think people get the wrong impression of Ozonics sometimes. You know, being a bow hunter, the biggest thing I'm after is to have this animal in range for long enough for me to execute a shot.
Right.
Anything longer than that is just a bonus. But that to me, that's a win. If they can be within range long enough for me to execute a shot, whether I get one or not, or take the shot, or if it's the right animal, That's all I'm really asking for, right? And I've had situations, it seems like to me, that the younger the animal is, the more they're bothered by the odor of ozone. And they don't, I've never had them like really spook and run off. It looks like it, they act as though it piques their curiosity.
Yeah.
More than, I mean, it's not like they come to it and try and say, let me go see what this is, but it makes them pause and they'll, you know, try to get a better whiff of it. You know, they'll lick their nose and try to catch the wind a little better. But I've never had it where I noticed them get spooked by it, I'll say. They might get curious and kind of perk up and look that way and try to catch more of it, but not really like, whoa, let me get out of here. What is this? So I count those as wins. Now, I got to say, in the ground blind situation, I think the stuff is just wicked. I mean, it's unreal, the results I see there.
Right.
When I've used it in the tree, sometimes that's a little more challenging. And I'll say that I've been blown out at times in the tree, but you're more exposed. You get swirling winds. You deal more with thermals. It's so much harder, I think, when you're in the tree. But I've had a lot of success in the tree with it as well.
Yeah.
But the ground blind, I'm not afraid of almost any wind when I take care of all the other things I need to do.
Right.
My other scent control regimen, and then get in the ground blind. The ozonics unit just tops it off.
Yeah. What is your other scent control regimen outside of ozonics?
Oh man, some people might say I go pretty far. I'm one of those more extreme guys, but it works for me, so I don't really bother to change it. So what I do is. I use carbon clothing. I do subscribe to that. I use not all of my clothing, but a lot of it. I usually have some component of carbon layering in what I wear. I wear, you know, head covers and gloves. When I wash my clothes, I wash it in, you know, scent-free detergent. I use one that's an oxidizing agent in the detergent, so it kind of oxidizes bacteria and odors for longer periods once it's, you know, exposed to air. And I store all my clothes and basically, you know, those little vacuum seal bags you can use when you travel or what have you. I have a bunch of those. I store my clothes in that, or either small things like socks and underwear. I put those in Ziploc bags. And then I store all of that in like a watertight storage bins. Right. And I don't even go. My wife gives me a hard time. I don't even go in there and do my hunting laundry and all of that. I don't pick anything out of the bin unless I go wash my hands in my scent-free soap first.
That's nuts.
I'm serious, man. I get nutty. You're absolutely right. I don't even start touching the clothes until I wash my hands.
Man.
Say if I'm gonna go hunting for the weekend, right? So it's Thursday night, Friday morning. Like the last shower I take at home before I go, I'm taking that in scent-free soap, and then I'll take another shower at camp or wherever in scent-free soap. So almost like two showers before, I'm like trying to get scent-free already.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Now, every day I don't do that, but when it comes down to a crunch time, I get fanatical about it.
Yeah.
And it's just what I do. Now I do that in conjunction, and I use the same field spray stuff, you know. I do all of that in conjunction with ozonics, and I rarely have a problem. I won't say never, but it's very, very rare.
Right.
And you know, early season where I hunt, it's nothing for it to be 80, 85, 90 degrees, and you're sitting in a tree stand or in the blind for like 3-4 hours and you're sweating bullets almost the whole time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to fool a deer at that point. So I don't mind being a little fanatical. And you know, this year I killed my buck. It was October, early October. You know, my goal is to be done with hunting season before Thanksgiving. Like I got no more room in the freezer, no more time. You know, I mean, well, I might have time, but I'm like done. I'm like deered out. That's my goal, is to burn out before Thanksgiving. I haven't quite done that yet, but that's my goal.
Right.
You know, that, because I hate hunting in the cold and, you know, the bad days when it's just storming and stuff. I'll let you guys have that, man. But I want to be done in early November. I almost pulled it off, but I haven't quite done it yet.
Right.
And
right.
I think in order to do that, you got to be a little nutty about everything.
That nuttiness towards your scent regimen, you know, and then you add something on top of it like an Ozonix, like, I have no doubt that all your scent control bases are covered.
I try to keep it that way. And I talk to people all the time, and they say, man, this happened. I say, well, what was the win? What'd you do? And there's always a hole in something that you're doing.
Right.
I try to minimize those holes. And then, you know, kind of create my own luck after that, you know.
You know, Dan had some really interesting things to say there on how the Ozonix basically is an assistant to his already, like, bulletproof scent regimen, right? So it just helps him even more when he goes out into the timber. Now, the next person we talk to is Jake Myers of Michigan. And I really like this story because it's happened to me a couple times where a group of does come through downwind and the Ozonix works and you don't get busted, right? And then that leads to an encounter with another target deer, right? So I'm not even going to go into any more detail about Jake's experience. I just kick it off by asking him, you know, what led him to picking up an Ozonix and why that was?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of the podcasts, Nine Fingers, and everybody has had one, needing to get one. I did my research on it. I found that I wasn't ready to jump full in, bought the 200, and really went from there. Bought it 2 years ago, got great success out of it within the first, 3-4 days of using it.
Okay. So, describe really quick what some of that success was.
Well, I, set out on a doe mission out on a 35 acre piece out on the outskirts of the main property I hunt, just trying to get a feel for what was going on. It was, opening day. Had a few work by, but nothing really presented itself, but they were all right in my wind. And I was really sold from there that I was going to continue to use this.
Gotcha. So walk us through that in a little bit more detail, right? Because deer downwind, right? And most of the time when you say that, the next sentence is, and then they ran away because they smelled me, right? So was this something that you were just like, hey, man, this should not be working this well? I mean, did they get a whiff of you and they didn't run away? How did that whole all play out?
They could tell something was up, but I think it was masking the human odor just enough to throw them off, which I like around here because – you got to have an advantage being Michigan. It's a pretty pressured state. So I just tried to use it to my advantage and had great success with just like the first few days. Like I said, went in on the doe mission and ended up seeing a very nice buck, which led to the buck I shot.
That's awesome. So just from a usability standpoint, you know, once you purchased the Ozonix, you got it, and you started using it, did you feel it was simple to use? Did you follow the instructions, or are you the kind of guy like me who, instructions? I don't need instructions. You just throw them away, and you just start playing with stuff. Or, you know, what? I guess my question is, was this easy to use and operate?
Yeah, I found it very easy to use. Asking a friend and watching the videos and all the stuff, I put it about 12 to standing there 12 to 16 inches above my head and pointed it down and turned it on, and really only smelled it when I stood up or got a good down draft. But I did like, you could smell it. I felt it was working. It was definitely easy to use. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Michigan, like you said, is a really high pressure state. Lots of other hunters, you know, deer are getting whiff, you know, full nose of human odor all the time. Yeah. Right. And you know, that's what keeps them safe. Now, the first couple times that you brought in Ozonix into the tree with you, you mentioned that the does knew something was up, but you know, they didn't run out of there completely scared, right? So,
right.
Was this how far away were they when they were downwind of you?
They were only maybe 30, 40 yards. I'm sitting this piece I hunted because the first year I had it, I hunted this piece specifically just because I ran into that buck that very first night. So I was hunting it every day, and it's only a 5-acre piece of marsh bedding that is 150 yards behind a house.
Okay.
So these does come, they work out of this marsh and out of the cornfield and move by me to get to the other ag field, which happened to be beans. And so they were passing by me at 10 yards and then worked out into my wind at 40 yards.
Okay.
And that was just the staging area. That's what they were. The main deer pattern was working out into that area.
Right. Right. So downwind, was this like downwind? Was this the deer moving through, or was your wind blowing to a place where the deer would congregate?
Yeah, I couldn't have my wind blow anywhere else because that's just where the deer were coming from. And we were having weird east winds that year. So I was dumping my wind out towards the road, but I kept getting kicks out of the south from the wind. So it was pushing out into the staging area and just, so that Ozonix helped out a lot. I was hunting off wind, which put my wind probably 15, 20 yards into the edge of the staging area.
Right. Okay. So basically you were cutting the wind pretty hard, but because of the shift of the wind, it was blowing into a staging area. And it sounds like because the property that you hunt's only 5 acres, you're limited with tree stand placement. So if you want to hunt, yep, you have to hunt, and you know, your options are limited.
Yep. Yep. And I think I walk in about 80 yards off the road and set right up on the edge of it. I don't go into it. It's just kind of, I let all the marsh in between me and the house that just stays put, and they bed and they work right around the inner edge of it. And they stage in this, it's, I don't know, it's probably an acre or two of like CRP. It's on the higher ground of this marsh. And then that's when they'll meander out there, eat, and then they work into they were working into the bean field is what they were doing.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you know, you mentioned that you ran into a pretty good buck on this property, right?
Yep.
All right. So why don't you walk us through the story of you harvesting this buck and how the Ozonix played a role in you harvesting this buck?
All right. Well, I'll go back to October 1st. Like I said, I was on a doe mission on this little 5-acre piece of bedding that was on the edge of a cornfield, and tried to shoot a few does. Didn't have any success with that. Just didn't have the shot opportunity. But towards the end of the night, I seen a buck, very nice buck, filtering through the marsh out towards the bean field. And so that from moment on, I knew I'd seen this buck. I was going to hunt him. And I just getting this Ozonix gave me a little bit of confidence that I could hunt off wind, just off winds and stuff. I could push my luck a little more. So I hunted a few times that week off and on these east winds we were having in Michigan, which are just, they're kind of awkward. And it rolled down to Sunday, and it would just, pressure was up, everything looked good. So I headed out early, got the Ozonics up in the tree, got that going. The wind was switching from east to southeast and putting it right into the staging area like it had been doing the last couple of days. And I chanced it, and about 6:30, the does filtered out of the marsh just like they do every time and hit this staging area. And it was probably a worse wind than I thought. They got out in there. They walked right by me, stood. They ate, never, no noise, not a peep. And I don't know, 5 minutes of watching them, I looked back right out of where they came from. And there's this nice buck standing there scratching his back with his rack. And I couldn't believe it. I stood up, grabbed my bow, drew on him just as it, it all seemed like it was one motion, and let him take two more steps out of the marsh. And he was 20 yards broadside, and hit him right there, right in the lungs. And he went and he died 10 yards from the road right there in the tall grass.
Well, first thing I think of is that's an easy drag to the road, right? I'd take that any day.
I could not believe it. I watched him tip over. It was nuts.
Man, that's but awesome.
I don't think this hunt would have never came together if those does blow at me, if they think something's up, and I don't think he comes out.
Yeah. Or he's back there watching them, and he's watching their body movement or their body language, right? And if they seem tense, he's holding up, right? It could be one of several things that happens. And I, dude, like, I'm telling you right now, I've had more times where, since I started using Ozonics, it's not the buck that walks downwind, you know, it's the does that walk downwind of me, and they don't blow out, which means that I have an encounter with the buck that comes through later. You know what I mean? And yep. That's it, exactly what it sounds like happened to you this year, and it did its job, and the does kind of, I don't know. Let me ask you this then. Is the area that you hunt high pressure? I know, we all know Michigan's a high pressure state, but is the area that you hunt high pressure? Do you feel like these deer would have like blown you out of the water if you didn't have that Ozonics in the tree?
Oh yeah. They would have known I was there. There's hunters all around. I get, I help out a farmer, so I get to hunt a lot of their land, which is a lot of fence rows and stuff like that. There's not much woods, and this piece happens to be, it's a 35 acre chunk, but there's a house, the 3 acres separated for a house, and then there's just this little 5 acres of marsh bedding that's tucked up on this corner. And when there's corn around it, it sets up perfect for bedding.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. I'm glad it all worked out for you. And just kind of curious, other than an Ozonics, you know, what's your scent regimen like?
I wash all my stuff religiously, and it goes scent proof totes, and then I run the Ozonics. I don't do any of the scent crusher totes. I just don't want it ruining the elastic, because from what I've heard, I've never used it myself, but yeah. I just like trying to be scent free. I try to be a ghost when I'm out there. That's my main goal.
You know, that's another awesome example of what ozone technology and Ozonics can do for you while you're in the tree stand, right? A group of does comes by downwind. It's kind of a safety harness on top of his already solid scent regimen that he does. So it's just kind of, like I said, a safety valve. Now I want to share with you my experience from this past year with my Ozonics and how I use it, right? So the first thing I want to do is just kind of run through how, what my scent regimen is, right? So during the morning, like let's just say it's the middle of the rut, right? And I'm hunting every morning and I'm hunting every night. My scent regimen is I wake up, I take a shower, I go out to the garage, I put my camo on at the house, right? Wherever I'm at, and I take it out of the dry wash bag. And so I run a dry wash cycle overnight, and so my clothes are fresh and odor free in the morning, right? I get dressed at the house, and if there's any additional heavy layers that I throw in my backpack, and I'll get dressed at the tree, right? So I don't sweat going in. So the ozone is on me walking in, and I feel that alone, your access to the tree is one of the most important things. And if you can do that scent free and smell like ozone walking in, and you smell less like human, that's a huge win. That's what I feel anyway. So take my clothes out of the dry wash bag, get dressed, go to the tree stand, and obviously I'm playing the wind. Now, I play the wind real aggressive on certain setups because I want the deer to feel like they have the advantage when they're coming through the areas that I hunt. So I'm playing the wind really, really aggressively for the most part, right? You know, I call some of these hunts, and you've probably heard it on this podcast before, called 50-50 hunts, where if that wind swirls a little bit, man, there's a 50% chance that I'm getting busted, right? Or there, my downwind scent stream is going to cross paths with these deer before they get into shooting range. Now, if they're in shooting range and something happens, you know, at least I have that opportunity to get a shot off before I get busted potentially, right? So I'm scent free going into the timber, and then just like everybody else who uses an Ozonix, I put the unit above my head and turn it on and point it downwind. And I'm still playing the wind. I'm still using the Ozonix in the tree, and that's how I use it for the most part. Now, in addition to my scent regimen in the morning, I'll get out of the tree, right? Get undressed at the bottom of the tree, put my clothes in the bag, I'll go home, right? Depending on if I did sweat a lot or not, I may take an afternoon shower. Most of the time, I don't. Now, like the other two guys in this podcast who've talked, they are really anal about their scent regimen. I am not, because I feel that if you can play the wind and your access is right, and then I have the safety valve in the tree with me, I really think that that's good for me, right? I'm not overly anal about scent control as far as, you know, making sure all my clothes are in different bags and wearing rubber gloves when I take on and off all of my stuff. That's just not me, right? One thing that I do know is I'm washing my clothes less throughout this season because of Ozonix. I'm taking less scent-free showers throughout the season. I'm using less of those sprays. I still use some sprays, not a lot, but if I get sweaty, or if, let's say, I spill something on my camo or like coffee or whatever, I'll still use some of those sprays, hang them on the line, let them dry. And then once they're dry, I'll throw them into the Ozonix or the dry wash bag and hang them in and run a cycle. So that's kind of how I use Ozonix throughout, let's say, a daily routine during the rut when I'm hunting a lot, right? Now, I want to kind of walk you through what happened this year. Now, it rained all day and this past season in regards to my buck, one of the biggest bucks I've ever shot, right? It's a five-year-old buck. He scored 154. Now, as we all know, score doesn't mean shit when you're talking about, you know, a whitetail's nose, right? So I was on one of these 50-50 hunts in a terrain feature where I needed him to, I needed the deer to come down a certain trail. And, I was set up for maybe one, like on an intersection of this really, really thick terrain feature that kind of funneled deer into a certain area. And with the wind I had, I felt that the deer were going to come through this, specific terrain feature. It was almost like a pinch point up into a staging area, and the wind was going to get sucked out into this field, right? Well, as I get set up in the tree, I'm right on this really thick edge to where it opens up in the timber next to this really thick terrain feature that leads into a field. And my wind kind of was shifting and blowing straight from the south to the north. And I, when I originally set up, I had it blowing from southwest to northeast, right? So it was out of the southwest to the northeast, and it kind of switched to straight south. Now, what happened was I turned around, I'm putting my raincoat on, and I don't 100% know what direction the deer came from, but I do know that he popped out of this terrain feature. And the wind was consistent. It wasn't hard and it wasn't soft. It was just kind of a, you know, after a storm front moves through, the wind direction kind of repositions, and it kind of repositioned from a southwest almost to a south southwest to a straight south. And sure enough, I turn around and this buck is standing right where my wind has been blowing the entire hunt, right? So he came out of this terrain feature. He didn't skirt it like I had hoped that they would. So this buck came out of that, and the more I think about this, the more I think that this buck at some point crossed through my scent stream, right? Because I was dropping some milkweed, watching that wind the entire hunt, right? As long as it stayed to, I had this one tree picked out, as long as it stayed to the right of this tree, I felt I was fine. And it was staying to the right of this tree the whole time, and the buck popped up, and he was looking right at me. That buck was to the right of that tree as well. So, you know, do I think that this buck crossed my scent stream downwind? Yes, I do. Do I feel that he got a full whiff of everything? I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But like the other two guys said in this podcast, man, it's a great safety valve for if something like that does happen, right? We know what ozone does. We know that, you know, if used correctly, it can minimize your scent profile and disrupt it. And if that's what it takes to kill one of the biggest bucks, and you know, a 5-year-old deer in Iowa, yes, it's low pressure. Yes, you know, some of these, you know, you can say whatever you want to say about Iowa, but my experience is I feel that it helped in this scenario, right? Because the wind shifted, I may have been a little bit out of position. Well, it also taught me that I should probably move deeper into that terrain feature from a strategy standpoint and let the wind kind of be in the terrain feature as far as out of it. And so that's just kind of my experience with, you know, how I feel it works. Now, just like the other two guys, man, I've had a ton of encounters where the does get downwind for some reason, or they pop out into a field at a different location, or, you know, like it's the rut and there's a young buck chasing and he gets downwind and chases the does downwind, and it doesn't seem to bother him. And because of that, I had encounters with some 3-year-olds, some 4-year-olds that maybe I didn't decide to shoot, but still they didn't come downwind, but they were, you know, doing what I had planned on them to do, because I do still hunt the wind. And it's because of the does or the younger bucks not blowing that led me to have these encounters. And if you ask me, I feel that's well worth it. So that's just a little bit about how I use Ozonix and how, you know, some of the experiences that I've had. Hopefully what this will allow you to do is, you know, I unfortunately didn't want this to sound like a straight up advertisement for the company, because that's not what I'm about. I do strongly believe in this product, and not just the uses that it has for hunting, but I use it at home. Man, I clean my bathroom and then I'll run an Ozonics in it because it kills bacteria. I got three kids and there's feces and urine all over the place in my house. And especially with a young boy who's still trying to learn how to pee, it gets everywhere. And bacteria goes bye-bye when you run it, especially I'll close the door, run it in the bathroom, and then I'll turn on the vent to suck all that out. But, you know, there's other applications for ozone other than just hunting, and I take advantage of that. So if you guys have any questions, the first thing that you need to do is talk with a friend who's used it, right? No pressure. Just talk to a friend that's used it. Ask them what their what their experiences are, because that's tends to be the most reliable, right? If you feel I'm trying to sell a product on this podcast, all right, don't ask me. Go ask someone who's used it, right? Talk to them about what their experiences were with it. And I have a good feeling that they're going to be mostly positive. And after that, just go visit their website, ozonicshunting.com, and, look at the details there. They have a ton of information on how ozone works, what it does, everything, right? So take advantage of that. Just check it out, man. Do your research. Just like any other hunting product, man, just do your research. And maybe it is for you, and maybe it isn't for you, right? But at least give it a shot, because I feel that it gives us more opportunities, especially guys who are working a ton, right? I got three kids. I got a job, and I can't go out and hunt like I'm 20 anymore without kids. You know, I can't go and hunt every day. So when I do go hunt, I want everything to be right. I want to know that all the deck is stacked in my favor. And I think this is just a product that helps with that. Go check it out. And, I think that brings us to the end of this podcast. Huge shout out to all the companies, not just Ozonics, but all the companies that support this podcast: Exodus, Ozonics, Wasp, Lone Wolf, Deer Lab, Prime, Ripcord, and Hunter Safety Systems. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can search Nine Finger Chronicles on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast. Subscribe, please. Leave a review, please. And I think we'll cut it out here. If you're going to be in a tree, our friends at Hunter Safety Systems are reminding us to please wear your damn safety harness. Have a good week.